I'm Brett Chang.
And I am Jay Rosenthal, and this is your Peak Daily for Thursday, April 18th, 2024, where we cover the biggest stories in Canadian and global business, finance, and tech, all in less than 7 minutes.
Okay, so Jay, we surveyed 500 Peak readers to find out how people are feeling about Tim's Pizza. Roughly 30% say they would never try it, but 49% are undecided or waiting to see the reviews roll in. So it felt only right to send one of our Peak readers, Lucas Arender, into the field to test it out. His verdict, Jay, is underwhelming, even for a pizza made by a coffee chain. But that's one opinion. Are you going to be trying the pizza, Jay?
Probably. I'll tell you exactly when I'll probably try it, and so will those 30% who say they'd never try it. 100% of those 30% will try it late one night while walking
no
through
way.
The Tim Hortons.
Over. I'll never try it.
You will. You love Tim Hortons. You're absolutely going to try it. I'm going to send it to you. I think I would like, almost as soon as we mentioned it on the podcast, the signs went up on the Tim Hortons in our neighborhood. Like, it doesn't look like the best pizza, but like, you're not going to, with all due respect to Tim Hortons, and they have an important place in the economy and in our lives. Like, you don't go to Tim Hortons for the best of anything.
It's funny. So Lucas talked about his experience. First, he sent a photo of the pizza, which did not look good. But second of all, he said that the process of making it, the like employees had to pull out this like cheat sheet where it looked like it was so detailed and everything, and they're still trying to figure it out. So maybe they're still trying to figure the kinks out, Jen. Generous.
They should have soft launched it so that the staff could get a chance to make it a couple times before they actually put it go full bore. But look, I think it'll be a success. I think Tim Hortons knows exactly what they're doing. I think it was when they started launching sort of sandwiches and later day food, they went up 7% in revenue. Like, it's a real business. They know exactly their clientele. People will buy this.
All right, Jay, you've convinced me. I think I agree with you. I think it's a good decision.
I think it is too.
And I'm not sure the pizza's good, but I think the business decision is sound.
If pizza being good was a qualifying factor for a successful restaurant, there'd be lots of restaurants that would not be successful. True. So I'm willing to bet with Tim Hortons on this one. But Brett, aside from you not eating it and me probably eating it, what do we have for Peak Pals today?
For our first story, Raptors scandal highlights worries about sports betting. For our second story, retro sneakers are all the rage, and our big picture.
Hey! For our first story, it's a tough day for people who bet on themselves. Brett, I like that. That's a good line. Who are we talking about?
So we're talking about Toronto Raptors player Jontay Porter. He has received a lifetime ban from the NBA after an investigation found he broke the league's gambling rules by betting on games and, more seriously, manipulating games that he played to benefit sports bettors.
In one particularly egregious instance of bet fixing, a bettor waged $80,000 US that Porter would fail to achieve certain stats in a game.
Yeah, and Porter feigned illness to leave this game early to ensure the bet would hit. It would have netted $1.1 million if the sports book hadn't flagged it as suspicious.
Pretty suspicious. Now to zoom out. As the widespread legalization of same-day sports betting hit the U.S. and Canada in recent years, there has been a correlating spike in sports betting offenses.
At least 10 NFL players have been suspended since 2018, the year the U.S. Supreme Court legalized sports betting for violations relating to gambling.
The NHL handed out its first sports gambling-related suspension since the freaking 1940s earlier this season, suspending Ottawa Senator Shane Pinto for 41 games. That's half the season.
And the MLB is still abuzz after a criminal investigation concluded that the interpreter of superstar Shohei Ohtani embezzled money from his boss to gamble on sports.
It matters because it's become clear that pro sports have a very real gambling problem that is beginning to infect the integrity of the product. As fans are bombarded with an endless stream of sportsbook ads, they can no longer trust if they're watching is a clean game.
For our second story, business at Adidas is booming this year. If you're wondering why, just go for a walk around town and count how many pairs of Sambas you see walking the street.
Yeah, here's what's happened. Shares in the German sports giant hit a two-year high, fully recovering from the financial tumult caused by the breakup with Kanye West in 2022 after a smashing first quarter led by sales for its retro I'm going to call them Sambas. That's what we call them in Massachusetts. Sambas, Gazelles, and Campus sneakers.
To catch you up, the Samba, I'll go with Samba the other way to say it, the oldest Adidas model originating in 1949 exploded in popularity after going viral. The fire has kept burning in stores and on the resale market. The resale site Depop reported that searches for Sambas were up 142% since the start of 2024.
Now to zoom out. It's not just Adidas that has reaped rewards from retro styles. New Balance has gone from number one choice for out-of-touch dads to fave of Taylor Swift and high school kids at Central Toronto Academy, thanks to its classic 1550s. GQ posits the next big shoe trend is old-school tennis shoes, with Nike leading the way.
It matters because the continued rise of the Samba is more than just looking like Harry Styles. Shoe brands' reliance on retro faves to drive sales at the expense of new designs is part of a broader trending consumer culture of looking to the past, per some fashion experts.
Just like how Hollywood won't make a movie these days unless it's based on a pre-existing IP, brands are avoiding risks by sticking to products they already know people love.
But we may have reached peak Samba with overexposure, best exemplified by deeply uncool UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak rocking them, hurting their hip factor.
Yeah, probably. And for our big picture, details released on gold heist arrest. Police arrested six men and are searching for three others in connection to last year's heist of $23 million in gold and cash, the largest in Canadian history at Toronto's Pearson Airport. Two of the men alleged to be involved are Air Canada employees. No word yet on whether Netflix is trying to option their story for a movie.
TikTok faces scrutiny over new app. The EU has demanded that TikTok provide a risk assessment on TikTok Lite, a new app that rewards users with cash based on how much they scroll. Quietly released in Spain and France this month, the app sets a daily goal for users of 3,600 coins, about 38 cents, equal to about an hour of scrolling.
Oh, so icky. Alberta close to securing a deal with family doctors. Danielle Smith's government is closing on a new compensation model for family doctors that she says will make Alberta a national leader in attracting and keeping scarce family practitioners. One remaining point of contention is that the funding will only go to doctors with at least 500 patients.
Hey, pals, thanks for making us the most listened to business news podcast in Canada.
If you got a second, why not follow this podcast on your app of choice and leave us a review.
And if you want more Peak, make sure to subscribe to our daily newsletter at readthepeak.com.
Have a great day, Peak Pals.